This is an interview with Charles Frost for the Youngstown State University Early Education Project by Caroline Wilms Hall at the home of his son in Columbiana on May 22, 1980 at 4 p.m. All right, Mr. Frost, would you tell us something about your parents and your childhood days?
Well, my father was Elmer Frost of Pomeroy, Ohio, and my mother, Viola, her maiden name was Viola Harper. Back to the childhood, I grew up at Rock Springs. I was on a farm, 27 acres, and I attended Rock Springs grade school, or one room school is what it was. And then from there, when I passed the Boxwell Patterson examination, I was admitted to Pomeroy High School, and I attended there from 1914 to 1918. Graduated in spring of 18.
Okay, what do you remember about this one-room school that you attended?
Well, I had some teachers that were very good, and I had one or two that didn't amount to very much. And looking back over, it seemed like they were the type that more just took their money and didn't do much. I had two especially that were, I thought, real good teachers, very good, who took very much of an interest, and they seemed to know their subject matter better.
Were these basically women teachers, or did you have men teachers?
Some were men and some were women. Back in those days, young men would go there. They didn't go to high school. Not anyways near 100% of the graduates go to high school, and so many of them would go to high school, would go to grade school until they were 20, 21 years of age. To a certain extent, they just, I was going to say just made a nuisance of themselves, but they did behave themselves in school, and it was just some place to go to put in the time, it seemed so.
Was there a particular reason why they didn't go to the high school?
Well, it was new. It had just been started, I don't know, not too many years before that, to best my knowledge. I don't know, truthfully, just what year the high schools were started, but they had not become generally in use. However, in later years, I know that the greater portion of the graduates attended high school, but at that time, very low percentage of the graduates went to high school. Very, very low percentage.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you attended, what, 8 grades in the one-room school?
Yes.
Was it near your home?
Oh, I'd say about 3/4 mile.
Okay, did you walk that distance?
Yes. Yes, we walked. And also, maybe I'm getting carried ahead of the horse here, we walked into high school also. That was about 3.5 miles. Buses, there just wasn't such a thing in those days. You walked. If you got any place, you walked.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the day like in this one-room school?
Well, First, they had a big class and a little class, just two classes. For instance, I'm talking now in history, geography, or arithmetic. There'd be a big class and a little class. By that, I mean the youngsters would possibly be, they were not divided into grades. In that day, in the upper grades, there would be, I suppose today you would call them possibly very few out of the upper part of the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, possibly. And then in the lower grade, the lower class in history or arithmetic or geography, whatever it be, was younger ones. And it would probably be on a grade of, I'll say, something like the fifth, sixth, and up to about that much. I just don't know as I can enlarge on that very much.
Okay. You say you had geography and arithmetic. What other subjects do you remember having?
Well, it was geography and arithmetic, physiology, orthography. Did I mention grammar?
Mm-hmm.
Grammar. Well, the old textbook was Harvey's grammar. I'm trying to think of what other subjects that I haven't mentioned. Did I mention physiology?
I think so.
I hope I haven't missed out some. That's all I can think of at this moment.
Okay, how did your day start? I mean, did you have particular opening exercises that you went through every morning?
No, there was. I don't recall that we did. Later years we did, but that is, in my teaching, but not at that time, no. The bell rang. It was a big bell up in the belfry, and teacher pulled on the rope, and that rang the bell, and we all came in. And he would, he or she, as the case may be, would take the roll, possibly by just looking over and check the ones that were not there, or the regular ones that were, and noting the ones that were not there. And then, after very few minutes, we start off. I don't remember now just what the order was, which classes was which came first, but they would call us up, and we would, for instance, they'd call us up for arithmetic, let's say, and then he'd have another class. He'd have us possibly doing work at the board, and then he would have another bunch working at their seats. The reason I'm thinking for this was that having all eight grades, you had only a few minutes to each class, and if you didn't, you had to have a couple of classes going at the same time almost in order to get your any length of time in for your total.
What kind of materials did you have to work with? I mean, you say people were working at their seat. What were they working with?
Well, at an earlier time, in the earlier grades, we had slates. We had a slate that was hinged and it opened up.
Uh-huh.
And some had a larger slate which was single.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a slate was 10 inches wide and possibly 18, 20 inches long. And then we had a stone slate pencil, which it was not wood, and it would we'd write, we'd work our problems on that. However, in the later years, we had a large pencil tablet. I judge about a half inch thick of a paper. And we'd do our problems on that. They did not ask us. I don't recall of any teacher asking us to have our work written out and bring it to school. However, in my teaching, I wanted to know that the work was done, and I had written work brought in, especially in the upper grades.
Did you have books that you worked with?
Yes. We had to buy our own books. Each one bought their own books. However, in later years, we find that they were given by the Board of Education. But that was not the case back there in those days. We bought our own books.
Okay, did you have brothers and sisters that went to school with you?
Yes. I had two brothers older than I, and one sister older than I, and then I had two sisters younger than I. And all, there were three boys and three girls in the family
that
attended this school.
So you had company walking to and from school?
Yes.
Was this the problem in school since you were all housed in one room?
Do you want to state that again?
Was this a problem having your brothers and sisters in the same class with you or in the same classroom?
No. In fact, it was a help. As I see it, in the lower classes, we'd sit back there and listen to the teacher talk and explaining in the bigger classes. And oftentimes we'd pick up a great deal of knowledge or information that way, just listening in to the upper class, as I shall speak of it. No, it was not a problem. I would say that it was a great help for we younger kids to listen in to these discussions in the upper classes. I think that about sums that up best I can.
Okay, fine. Then you say you took the Boxwell or Patterson examination. What was it? How was it done?
Well, that was a state law requiring all eighth grade examinations of pupils to be examined before you were entered, could be enter high school. However, in later years, that was done away with, and however, then you, when you passed the eighth grade, completed the eighth grade, you automatically were admitted. But in that day, you had to pass this Boxwell-Patterson examination. It was a date set, and we'd go into the into town, into a was in the central school where it was held, and teachers were appointed to administer the tests, and we would write out these written examinations, and we'd learn in a few days whether we passed or not. And if we passed, then we were certified to go to high school that fall.
How long did this examination take?
It was completed in one day. You go in and I think start at 8 and then go on till noon and an hour lunch, and then starting at one and until you finished. If you finished earlier, you could go home. As I recall, we all finished long before 4 o'clock, though. It'd be possibly 10 questions, if I recall rightly, or 10 problems. The case might be going to be a point of about 10 each, 10% out each. Make it somewhat easier for the grade.
Did you have essay questions that had to be completed, or was it all multiple choice?
No, multiple choice or true and false were not used in that day. It'd be, well, for instance, in arithmetic, it'd be problems, definitely problems involving each of the various things, common fractions, decimals, and measurements, and whatnot of that, cube root, square root. Then going on to geography, and it would involve questions of definitely asking, listing cities in order. For instance, the cities in order, 5 larger cities in Ohio, or the list the border counties, the touch on the Ohio River, or something similar like that. There were definitely questions to be answered by knowledge, not just yes and no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, then you went on into high school, what did you say, Pomeroy?
Pomeroy, P-O-M-E-R-O-Y, Pomeroy.
Okay, and you were there for 4 years?
Yes, from 1914 to 1918.
Okay, what type, how was the school there set up? I mean...
Well, it was definitely each year was, we were listed under first year, second year, third year, and fourth year. We attended it all in the, well, as a freshman class, I should say, and as a sophomore class, junior class, and senior class. Each of the subjects had a definite class period for each class as it started out, possibly first year Latin, for instance, and then would come possibly first year algebra, and then whatever would be the afternoon subject, or maybe a study period in there, take up, we had a full 1 hour, if I recall rightly, 1 hour classes at that time. And same thing through the afternoon, it'd be 1 hour periods, and as I recall, it was just the one study period. There may have been in some of the other years more than one study period, but I do recall we had one study period, and then we had to do a certain amount of studying at home, mm-hmm. after we went home, in order.
When did your school day start?
It was 8 till 12, and 1 till 4, as I recall.
All right, because you had walked 3.5 miles to school, did you carry your lunch to school?
Yes, we carried a brown bag lunch, usually. Some of the boys would go walk downtown and buy their lunch. Or you could go to the where they sold ice cream and banana splits and such like as that, and get a lunch of that type. I would say for the main part, they either walked home, some who lived right in town walked home, and those who remained carried their lunch, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Were you given a place to eat? Did you eat in your rooms? And were you supervised?
The teacher remained in the room, as I recall. And she carried her lunch in a box, lunch box. I guess you would say that we were supervised, yes. I never thought of it that way so much, but if we got noisy, we were called down. Sometimes we boys would get to talking a little too loud, and they'd ask us to be tone it down a little bit, so forth.
Did you change classes, or were you assigned one room, and then you stayed there all day with the same teacher?
At least part of the classes, I don't recall at this time just which, whether it was in freshman year or sophomore year, but we did definitely go from, we'd have one class and the bell rang and we would move on to the next room and change from one room to another for various classes, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many rooms were in your school now?
We built a new high school the first year. We were, well, I'll go back now. You asked how many rooms in here. There were many, many. I don't know if I could tell you just how many.
So it wasn't a small school.
No, it was a good-sized school. But to regress there just a bit, the first year, while this was being built, we were housed in a basement of a church and over into a fire hall, upstairs over the fire hall, and the third one, where were we there? Is upstairs over another church, or in the, is a portion of a church, two churches, and this fire hall was used. This was temporary housing until the new building was completed. However, in my sophomore, junior, and senior years, we were in this new building, but we had to just put up as best we could, moving about while this new one was being built.
Well, then, if you were housed in several different places, then was it still possible to change classes?
Yes, the teacher had to call the time. There was no bell sounded, as I recall. And we had to, at the time, out, say, well, that's the end of it, and we moved on to the next place, next room.
Uh-huh. So then, when you were being housed in the churches and the fire hall and everything, were they close together?
Yes, they were reasonably close. I would say, I don't believe we traveled over 25, 30, 40 yards, something like that. Yes, they were reasonably close together.
Okay, then you decided to become a teacher. Why?
Well, my dad was a teacher, and he had, in fact, he had told me that he had, there were four in his family who were teachers, three boys and one girl. And so, in fact, my dad had been a teacher, I guess he sort of thought that I should go ahead with my education, and instead of just going into mines and getting a job as a coal miner or something, to go ahead and get an education and teach. And so I started in to go to a normal school, or they didn't call it. It was not called normal school for my older brother when he took his work 3 years before that. But this was a teacher training school at Rio Grande College.
Okay, you started at Rio Grande with your teacher training.
Yes, 1924, in January, I started to Rio Grande College. That was a 2-year course starting, teacher training. And upon completion of that, I went ahead and took 2 more years and graduated with a AB in education.
All right, what does the AB stand for?
Bachelor of Arts.
Okay. Just want to make sure. So you only had to have 2 years of training to teach, right?
That's correct, yes, at that time.
All right, what courses were included in your teacher training?
Well, I don't know if I can mention all of them now. We had different courses in methods. I had at least 2 different courses in geography, and some in mathematics. I could think of others, but I don't know whether they were. I guess that was in the 3rd and 4th year or so. That's all I can think of just now in the first 2 years is methods, as I mentioned, various types.
Okay, were you preparing for elementary or secondary education? In other words, did you plan to teach elementary grades or did you plan to teach high school?
I had thought of it more in regard to elementary, but however, they granted me a life certificate after so long, after I forgot how many. I believe I had to teach 2 years, and at the end of that time, they granted me a life certificate, elementary. And then after I finished my 4 years and had taught some more, they gave me my life certificate in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when you talk about methods courses, now, were they to teach you, say, writing up units? I mean, how were the subject areas taught? I mean, how were they planning to have you teach them? As units of material? Or as a day-to-day thing?
It was more, as I recall now, it was just he would assign us so many pages in the text, and then we would discuss this. It was just discussions in class after we had discussed. For instance, we'd be assigned 8 pages or 10 pages in the text, and we would talk this over, and bring out what would be done in typical cases, as I remember. Such as would come up in class discussions. That's about the best I think I can recall on that.
Okay, did you have to write lesson plans for these courses?
I did not have to write a lesson plan. I don't recall lesson plans, no.
Did you ever have to do demonstration teaching in front of the class yourself?
Yes, later we did have, towards the end, we had demonstration, yes. We had some of that. as I recall, that was about the last half of the second year.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this in front of the students that you were in class with, or was this then taken as part of your student teaching?
Well, as I recall, they brought some of the students over from the grade school, and they were seated in our class, and we were using them as students to bring out our points.
Okay, then did your teacher, your college teachers, evaluate you? Did the class evaluate you when you did these demonstrations?
Yes, we had our college teacher would make a score and evaluate you on what you did and correct you if they thought you hadn't done just quite the right thing. They would tell you, so next day you would do correct that and try to put it across in the right manner if you failed on it first. I think I would about sum that up eventually.
Okay. Then did you have student teaching in those first 2 years? Did you go out into a school and work with another teacher?
No, I don't recall that I did. No, I don't recall that I did.
So then you say you had these students come in that you taught lessons with. That
yes.
was your form of student teaching?
That was the student teaching that we had there, yes.
So the children came to you?
They came into our class from the adjacent grade school, yes. That's the way that was done.
Okay. Now, when you went to Rio Grande, did you live on campus or was it close to you?
We went down on Monday morning, drove about 40 miles, and I rented a room. I stayed at Mrs. Tanner's, and she got breakfast and we got our lunch there and supper at her place. Yes, each student came in from various parts around, some far as 100 miles, and then they rented rooms at that time. However, today that has grown. That is 50, 75 times this college, Rio Grande, today is at least 50 times the size that was back when I attended there.
Okay, what was it like when you attended? I mean, do you remember how many buildings there were?
There was just the one main building was three stories high, a brick building, which I should say it was at least 60 foot each way. And three stories. And then there's a newer building, which I call it, where we came in for, we were convocations, came in and the president would give us a talk, and we would have musical selections played and so forth. Just those two buildings was about all there was to it at that time. It was a very small beginning. It's almost nothing as compared with what it is. Going back in recent years, it's uh, very, very much outgrown.
All right, what was the student body size when you were here?
There were smaller classes, much smaller classes than of today. As I recall, there was about 35 in our class in the first 2 years. However, in the college third and fourth years, as I remember, they were somewhat smaller. As it went on, some dropped out. And then in the summertime, they would have many come in and took summer courses, which were involved older teachers. For instance, there'd be women your age and up, or not my age, but I recall men in there, 65, and I'm not so sure what, a few of them were near 70, men teachers who came in the summertime. And so our classes in the summer were, this was not in the regular class year now, but of the 2 6-week terms of summer, it's like into 2 6-week terms, and in those classes, we had many more come in and took extra work.
Mm-hmm. Did you take year-round work then? Did you go year-round? Did you go through the summer in those 4 years?
Yes. Starting out, I taught the fall of 24, I taught a term of school, and then I went in after school was out through the summer, and then I went straight on through. From that point, I went straight on through. Took in the summers, and then from September through till June in the regular term until my course was finished.
So actually, all you had to take was 2 years to get a teaching certificate.
Yes. However, my first two certificates, I had to take the examination, teacher's examination, to get my certificate. I was granted a one-year certificate, and when that expired, I took another one, and I got my second certificate. And then I got a three-year renewal. At the end of the second one, I got a three-year renewal. And at the end of that time, I was granted my life certificate.
Okay. What was the teacher's exam like? Was it set up to be a long examination? Did it take a day to take it?
It was taken in one day. We'd go into Pomeroy, and this was at the central school where it was given. And you were given piece of paper, and it listed your subjects on here I don't know what order, possibly arithmetic and possibly grammar, and following it would be geography, and take them in whatever order it was. And when you finished one subject, you could go right on and the next, and when you finished, you turn your paper in. There were always a couple of county examiners who were keeping their eye on everyone to see that you weren't trying to pass papers and mm-hmm. problems or answers and so forth.
Okay, after you had taught for the year and had to go back and take this, did you have to have proof that you had taken more work, college work, or did you just go back and take the exam?
I'm not sure that I get the...
Okay, you came out of Rio Grande, all right? Took the teacher's exam to get your certificate.
Yes.
Okay? You teach for a year, right?
Yes.
On that. And then you have to go and take the teacher's exam again.
Yes.
Now, did you have to go back to Rio Grande or to a normal school and take more work as a teacher like a teacher's institute or something like this?
No, I don't recall the idea. At the end of my second 1 year, they granted me, the Board of Examiners in Meigs County granted me a 3-year certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I had taught the 5 years in, I had completed my normal work 2 years, and I think I was partway through my college work by that time, and by that time then I was granted my life certificate. And then after I taught, I think it was 2 years after I completed my college work, I was granted my life certificate in high school.
Okay. It's time to turn the tape over. Okay, according to your sheet here, you had 6 years from the time you graduated from high school until you went to Rio Grande College.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you do in those 6 years?
Well, I worked on the farm. I thought I wanted to become a druggist. I got a job in a drugstore. I was packing medicines, packing flavorings, filling orders. So this drugstore had a traveling salesman who went around 30 miles in the surrounding country and took orders, and he sold flavorings and extracts, and in the fall he had all kind of ink and pencil tablets and paper products, took orders, and I was in there. I could not sell anything. The licensed druggist had to sell the prescriptions, but anything that was packaged or on the shelf, like a bottle of cough medicine or whatnot, I could sell, but anybody come in prescription, I had to call the druggist. And then of evenings, I went back and, pardon me, I got that wrong. Daytime, I packed these orders to go out. That was my work. And then of evenings, I come back and I sold over the counter. After about 7 or 8 months of that, I quit. It got to be a little too much. It was just too many hours. And I decided I didn't want to be a druggist. So that was the end of that. I worked in the, I got a job in the 6-year period with an older man, a miner. And I went in the coal mine and I loaded coal. I worked at that for about 2 years. Pretty hard work. Pretty good money though at that time. And at the end of that time, I got a job on a slate dump that was unloading slate. The slate is it's a waste product, comes down over the head. When the coal is taken out of the mine, there's about, any place from a foot to a foot and a half of this slate between that and the rock top. And that is taken down and loaded on the cars and carried out, and that's waste. So we have to it's hoisted up an incline, and we push this out and dump it. And I worked on that for, I think, 2 years on the slate dump. That take up, let's see, that's about
3 years of your time.
3 years of time. I guess the rest of the time I was employed on the farm, either working for neighbors or on the home farm.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to Rio Grande.
Rio Grande College, yes.
But you were also, according to your biography here, you were also teaching at the same time.
Yes, I taught my first term of school in Salisbury Township in 1924. That was in the fall of 24. I started in January 24, going to college, and then I took I passed the examination, got my certificate, and in September of that year, I was teaching my first term of school. Then at the end of that, I went through that summer, and the second fall, I taught again, my second term of school.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the second term of school, I started in and went straight through then, college work, or normal work and college work.
Uh-huh. Okay, this is your extra 2 years until you got your bachelor's degree, right?
Yes, it was normal the first 2 years, and then kept on and got my, at the end of the 4 years, I had my AB in education.
Okay, if you had taken all your, like, your methods courses and things that you needed to teach to get your certificate, what did you take in these 2 years to get your bachelor's?
Well, that was more sociology courses. I don't know how many courses. I majored in sociology. Then I had ethics and philosophy. I don't know how many courses. I had several courses in sociology.
Did you have to student teach at this time to get your bachelor's?
I don't recall that I did, no.
In other words, when you went to college, in your 4 years that you were going to school, whether it was in the summers or whatever, to work to your bachelor's, you didn't have to look forward to doing a student teaching.
No, I didn't do any student teaching there, no, if I recall.
Uh-huh. Okay, you came out of school, you got your bachelor's in, what, June 28th?
Yes, I'd be someplace around the 15th of June, I imagine. I'm 1928, yes.
Uh-huh. And then you went to work for?
That fall, I came to North Iowa and started teaching, 1928, and I was there for 8 years until 1936.
Okay, what were you teaching while you were there in the 8 years?
I started out, I was assigned the sixth grade for the first 3 years. In the fourth year, I had half of the seventh. Half of the seventh, and Miss Musser had half the seventh. Do I have something else besides that? That was a kind of a twisted up affair there. In the third year, she taught, Miss Corrine Musser took half of the seventh grade, and I had half. What did I have in? I can't seem to recall what I took the other half. But anyhow, it was split between us. Then Miss Musser got married, and I had the balance of the 4 years. I had straight eighth grade. First 3 years were the sixth grade, and then the fourth year was just split. The seventh was split between us, and then the last 4 years were straight eighth grade. Mm-hmm.
Is this a large school you were teaching in?
Hey.
Was this a large school?
Yes, it was. North Lima had, I would say, 40 to 50 pupils. In the sixth grade, considerably larger than they were in these grade schools in the southern part of the state. It was being graded, it was considerably larger, yes. It gave you a better chance, as you had just one grade, you had a chance to really put your work across. Back there in those one-room schools, it figured out about 7.5 minutes to a class. Hmm. And it was no wonder that you had to have a class going at the board and somebody working at their seats and somebody else at the recitation seats at least part of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how was your day set up? What time did you start?
And this is at North Lyman. You're speaking on this.
Mm-hmm.
Classwork started at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we were, as I recall, on 45-minute periods. I believe there were 45-minute periods. And we went through and until the noon, and then it was 1 hour off for lunch, and then one until four. Sometimes you were assigned a study period, in which youngsters were to study, and then at some of the noons, we were out to supervise the playground. I know there is, I'm not too sure what that is all the way through, but we were assigned to supervise the playground at the noon hour.
Mm-hmm.
Other teachers were to take their rooms and to see that wasn't too much vandalism going on in the rooms, to keep their eye on what's going on inside, as well as other teachers who were assigned to the playground outside.
Mm-hmm.
But me being a man teacher, I had the outside, as I recall, I had some pretty good sized guys there that sometimes had to be strong armed.
Well, was North Lima grades 1 through 8, or did it go through high school?
It they had 1 to 8, and they also had high school at the same time, yes.
Now, were they all in one big building?
Yes, but they were on the in different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were all 8 grades and the four years in high school. Yes, all in the same building.
Now, were the like smaller grades or the younger grades like on first floor and second floor was the older grades, and then was there a third floor?
No, we had two. What do we call them? Portables, and the 7th and 8th grades were taught in the portable. As I recall, the other grades were inside, but we just didn't have room enough, and we had to have these portables in order to give more room. The high school was on the upper floor, as I remember. High school classes, yes, definitely were on the second floor. Then, later it was all rebuilt, but at the time I was there, it was the high school's on the upper floor and grades were on the lower and in these portables.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you said you had 45-minute periods. Now, when you had 6th grade, those 3 years, did they change classes or you had them all day yourself?
They were in my care, yes. Wait, was one thing. A music teacher came in one period, and he would come in at a certain period and we would have music. And then the next period, he'd leave and go to the next room and so forth. That was I believe all. I don't recall now anything other than the music teacher came in, and all the rest of the periods were is up to me as a teacher to take care of it. Yes.
Okay. beside the academic work that you had with the students, did you have gym classes and art as subjects that you taught?
No, I do not recall it. We didn't have art at all. No gym as such. I did try to give them calisthenics on a morning. I would spend about 10 minutes calisthenics on the feet and arms, up and out, and stretch and whatnot, bending exercises and so forth. That was about the extent of it, as I recall. I know today I hear youngsters tell about, and I guess the time my children went to school, if they have definite periods for outdoor exercise, but that was not the case. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Okay, your music teacher that came in, did he come in once a week, twice a week, every day?
As I recall, that was once a week. I believe Mr. Jones came in. Mr. Jones was our teacher for something like 7 or 8 years there. He was a very good music teacher. As I remember, it was once a week that he came. And the year one period, and the next period, another room, and so forth.
Okay, what type of music was this?
What type?
Mm-hmm. Was it basically vocal, or was instrumental music involved?
Largely, it's just vocal music. He would try to instruct them in the singing to do the best he could. If those who didn't want to take part, he'd try to coax them or see that 100% of them took part in the singing. Always a few who didn't want to, they thought they were bashful or thought they didn't have a very good voice, and he'd talk to them nicely and try to take part. We want you all to take part in the singing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you do during this time? Were you in the classroom, or were you free to leave the classroom while he had the music?
No, I remained right in the room. That would be I'd be free to do whatever I wished, I guess, at that time, while he had charge of the youngsters. Been so long ago that I'd almost forgotten, definitely, but I'm sure I remained right in there at that time.
Okay, how did North Lima differ from the Salisbury school?
Well, it was a much, you could get something accomplished. Here in North Lima, we had one grade, and you could put 45 minutes on a subject, where in one grade, in a one-room school where I taught, at least the first 3 years that I taught in the Salisbury Township, and you had all 8 grades, with all grades, it figured out, as I recall, about seven and a fraction minutes, 7.5 minutes, something like that. You could not cover your subject matter in Salisbury Township unless you tried to double up and have some working at the board and some at the seats and doing written work and so forth. Where at North Lima, where I just had one grade, you could spend your entire period and you could do individual work, and you really could get things done. That's just the long and the short of it.
Okay, when you were teaching in Salisbury, the one-room school, what type of equipment did you have in the classroom to help you with your teaching?
We had very little bit of equipment. We had a sphere, a ball, the Earth, globe, I would say is 18 inches in diameter, We had one bunch of maps. Map of Europe, map of Asia, map of South America, North America, possibly another one of the United States. All in one roll, and you lift up the sheet, and it was possibly 4 feet wide and 3 foot high. Something. You'd have to turn that over if you wanted to show on any particular class. Very little bit of equipment outside of that globe and that bunch of maps. I don't recall we had anything in the way of other equipment. It was just almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. How about North Lima?
Much better. We had much better maps, and we had testing. They would give us, as I recall, we would have, if you wanted to give them can't think of the name of the test that they were taking for. I know what I want to say, and I can't get it in words. We want to give them a test to see how they were progressing. They furnished us these tests at North Lima to take our work.
In other words, you were giving achievement tests.
Achievement test, that's a term I wanted to use. I couldn't get the tongue on what I wanted to. Yes, they furnished us achievement tests.
Okay, if they had achievement tests, did they keep permanent record cards on these students in North Lima?
I don't recall that we did have any permanent record cards, no. I don't think they went on from year to year. I don't believe so. I think today, I believe, from what I've understood, they do, and it goes right on with the pupil. Mm-hmm. But in that day, we did not.
So there was no record keeping other than the attendance?
That's right. Just attendance would be about all, I guess.
And most of the students, what, carried a lunch or went home if they could walk? So you didn't have lunch money and milk money and that type of thing to attend with?
No. That came later, that lunch money and all, but in our day, it was lunches carried.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then you left teaching from North Lima and didn't teach again until 1944 and 45.
1944 and 45, yes.
In Andover. Did you have elementary there?
No, that was all in high school. I taught all high school subjects. The teacher was drafted, the regular teacher. They needed a science teacher at Andover High School, and so I really was hired as a science teacher. And at the end of that year, he came back from service, and of course, he was had been in service there several years, I don't know how many, and I was let out, and he resumed his job, which he had before he was sent across.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you were in teaching quite a while ago. What major changes have you seen in education?
What made me change?
What major changes have you seen in education? From the time you taught until, say, your children went to school and now your grandchildren. What changes have you seen?
I'll just have to study a moment on that. Well, the changes in transportation, buses. There was no buses in the start. However, when I came to North Lima, there were buses carried the children to school. That is one of the great changes, busing the children.
Uh-huh.
Still greater changes I can see is the whole county is carried into one school. For instance, in my home school, home county, the entire county is carried into one building. And this building is about a $10 million building. And I guess maybe 35, 38 teachers, all subjects, and they can, a much wider curriculum is taught. They can take, possibly three or four times as many choices. We didn't have much of a choice in 1914 to 18. We were told we just took what was assigned. But I understand in today's curriculum, you have much, much more. Not only that, but we have vocational schools, which I think is a very great improvement. I recall telling my county superintendent that I thought we should have vocational training then, and he agreed with me, but it was many years before vocational training actually was started in schools. I guess I would say it was at least 20 years, maybe 25 years later, before vocational training was started. Outside of transportation and the vocational training, a third change is they get their lunches. It's served right, and they're cooked and served right in the school. That was not the case back in the earlier days. I think that was another great improvement.
Is there anything you would like to see changed in the schools?
That I'd like to see changed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. I can't think of anything right off. Barring prayer in the school by, what was her name? Madam O'Hare, wasn't it? They got that out, and you couldn't have that lady who got a court order and stopped school prayer. I believe that there should be prayer in school. That is one change that I think, I believe it is being restored in some schools now. But it, for a long time, that was barred in our schools.
When you taught, did you have Bible reading or prayer every day?
I asked the youngsters to get a quotation. It could be one line, or it could be two or three lines, or many lines as they wish. But I left that up to youngsters, and I felt that way regardless of where they were. Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, that would not interfere with their religion. And by giving a quotation, they could take part, and still it didn't, as I saw it, it didn't interfere with their religion in any way. I think that's about all I can think of in that.
Was there anything else you'd like to add? Any experience you would like to relate? Or anything important we haven't covered?
Well, attendance, I didn't mention, back in the early days, we had attendance officers, and if they dropped out 2 or 3 days while the attendance officer came after them, I've heard stories told of how youngsters in Meigs County, Ohio, if they were West Virginia has jurisdiction over the Ohio River to the Ohio side. And if the youngster waded out into the river on the Ohio side, he couldn't be touched by the attendance officer. He's in West Virginia territory, I should say. He wades out in there, the Ohio attendance officer couldn't touch him. It never happened to me, but I heard stories of how when he came to get it, the young man would wade out into the river and he couldn't be touched to take him back, put him in school.
Was this when you were going to school or when you started teaching?
Both when I was in school and as a teacher. I don't believe that they have attendance officers anymore. If they do, I haven't heard of it. Maybe they still do, I don't know. But at some point, I think that gradually took care of itself, possibly. There was a great deal of staying out of school. People who were, what's the word I want to use, didn't have enough, they couldn't read nor write. The percentage of those was very high. Back when I was in grade school, the percentage was very high of those who were could not read and write. And as the years progressed, that percentage has dropped very much. And I think we've got a much higher literacy, a percentage of literacy today than there was back 25 or 50 years ago. I believe that would just about sum that up.
Alrighty, I want to thank you for your help.
Okay,
for your thoughts.